This is Will.
This is Alex.
Welcome back to another episode of They Mostly Come At It.
Welcome, everyone. You know the drill. We have a mission for you. Go to YouTube. Go to Spotify, Apple Music, Stitcher, Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you listen to your stuff, wherever you watch your videos. Look us up. If you like what you hear, maybe give us a like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Really helps out the podcast. Go ahead and share it with friends as well, if you want to. You know, just I'm in a good mood tonight because we watched insanely, well, not underrated anymore, but it was underrated for a while. Good movie. But anyway, yes, go to all your stuffs. Also, wanted to give a quick update. Still planning the live stream.
It will happen.
It will probably happen next month.
Don't worry about it.
So look out for it. We will let everyone know. You will be notified. I didn't put anything on Instagram because I wanted it to be a surprise for everyone what we were watching tonight. Because
you will know.
People have opinions on this movie. Like, big opinions.
And the franchise, yeah.
And the whole franchise as a whole. Like, now, I have opinions on the whole franchise because I think for the most part, the franchise is absolute garbage.
We'll get to that.
Which is a shame, but we will get to that. I don't know. Is there any more housekeeping you have?
The only other thing...
Is there any other recommendations we've gotten? I've been trying to check and everything.
All your recommendations, I have them all listed. Like, okay. For past years, future years, whatever. The only other thing is, anyone who subscribes, comments, whatever. It's always interesting to come across other people who are creators, as you would say. One of you know who you are. You make a lot of content about, like, cryptozoology.
Oh, yes, okay.
So, I've been looking through some of that just because I always appreciate seeing another person who puts content on the world.
What's their channel name?
Blackwater Media.
Yes, so I'm glad you said that because I've been checking out their stuff too. They're really good. Like, if you like that kind of like cryptozoology stuff, I actually like their videos a lot.
It's just like stories, little things, because cryptozoology is always fascinating. I mean, we have a podcast that is like mostly horror movies, so obviously.
Yeah, and we really appreciate, if you've seen a lot of our comments, a lot of it is Blackwater Media, and they've been... I don't know if it's like one... I think it's one guy, I'm not 100% sure. Anyway, thank you for like all the communication.
And the recommendations.
You're doing some good stuff too. What we're going to... should we link?
I'll leave it alone. He knows who he is.
Okay. You know who you are.
If you want to...
go look up Blackwater Media on YouTube. Really good stuff if you're into cryptozoology.
Other than that, that's it. So, tonight... Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. Now.
Okay, so.
Obviously, first Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a classic, masterpiece, incredible film.
One of the greatest horror movies of all time.
Now, when I first watched this movie, you probably did the same thing. I watched it completely blind. Like, I didn't know what I was getting into.
Yeah.
And... Within the opening scene, I'm sure you'll agree, I was in.
Oh.
I was...
Absolutely.
I was like, why doesn't everybody talk about this? This is already great, and it only gets better.
Now, to use a term, I fuck heavy with this shit. This is so... goddamn bizarre and insane.
Rob Zombie owes his movie career
to this thing. Like, legit, if you're a Rob Zombie fan and you have not seen this movie, what are you doing? Like, what if you like The House of the Thousand Corpses and all that kind of shit? Like, what are you doing? Stop sleeping on this movie if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, if you
it.
Like the kind of stuff that he does outside of the Halloween stuff, that kind of, like, vibe, you need to watch this movie.
Oh, yeah, it's not like a you should watch it, you need to.
You have to watch this.
Because it's such Rob Zombie vibes before Rob Zombie was even a thing.
This is so absolutely unhinged. This has to be, obviously, goes without saying, this is going to be a rambler.
This is going to be a rambler. It's going to be a gusher. We're just going to like talk about why we love this movie so much.
The only thing that I will think chronologically that we should mention is the opening.
Yes. Well, and I mean, obviously, we'll like kind of like glaze over the plot. But honestly, if I'm being completely honest, there's not much of a plot. I mean, it's like it's a very basic setup. It's a very basic thing that happens, but nothing about this movie is basic.
Just like the first one.
Yeah.
Because the opening is, it's just like two guys, well, they have like a, you know, a crawl saying like the events of the first movie happened, and then...
Well, yeah, and it's like basically like there's a murdering sprees all over Texas, and like...
It never ends.
The craze has gone on, so it's gonna continue for years. You know, will this Texas Chainsaw Massacre ever end?
And then it's two guys driving to party in Dallas, and
it's probably like, one of the most like we're definitely in Texas scenes I've ever fucking seen.
Well, that one of them's got like these goofy glasses, and he's just shooting at random shit. He shoots at a mailbox.
Shooting at like signs.
There's a sign that says "Remember the Alamo." Shoots at that. There's like a battle of San Jacinto.
Well, there's a mile marker. He shoots at everything,
and the whole time they're listening to this radio station.
It's a local radio station manned or broadcasted by our main character.
The only normal person in the movie.
Legitimately, yes. But that's fine because we need a link to normalcy
if you want
so that
to,
we can delve into the absolute fucking insanity that this movie
is. She's kind of like our final girl in a way.
Yeah.
But
I mean, she legitimately is like,
and she broadcasts this, and they play like rock music, and they call in and like say all sorts of nonsense.
Well, they're like annoying her because they won't get off the line, and they're like taking up the entire line, and they're just like driving around with the phone open, so she can't like disconnect the line.
And then, you know, they drive around, and then it's nighttime. Oh no, they play chicken with some guy on the road.
Well, it's a blue truck, and they drive all over the road because at this point, it helps if you've watched the first movie, but you don't know what happened to the family because the woman at the end just gets away and is just laughing maniacally
while Leatherface swings his chainsaw around.
And so like black. None of them really die. Well, did any of the family die?
Any of the family died. No,
I don't think they did. It's been a while since I've watched that movie, so it's incredible. So she just gets away. We don't really see what happens to the family, so you have no idea at this point what they've been doing. It's like 16 years later?
Yeah.
Because it's present day in the...
It's like 12 years, I think.
Yeah, so it's present day, and it's like... It's supposed to be that amount of time between the first one and this one. So, yeah, they're playing chicken with this blue truck. And
they run it off the road.
They run it off the road, and then it like cuts to them at night, right? So it's like a few hours later.
And the radio station. Now, mind you, when I first watched this movie, this was like my experience. Like, so they start playing "No One Lives Forever" by Oingo Boingo, which is a great song. And I was like, okay, all right. And then they start playing that, and the guys call in, making another request about something like bright lights, big titties. You know, they're going to Dallas and they want to see some big titties, and they're, you know, they make that request, and there's like this bridge, and there's a truck there, and it cuts them off, and it's the same truck.
Yeah, so it stops in front of them, and they're
like, "What are you? Get the fuck out of here, pig fucker!"
They like try and drive away, but the truck starts reversing at the same speed that they're going forward,
and starts driving right next to them while the song plays, and then. They're still on the line, so the DJ and her like assistant hear all this. A fucking thing gets on top of the truck.
It's a zombie.
It's like dancing.
They're like, it starts just doing a little jig on top of this truck.
And they're just like, what the fuck? And
it looks like a so at first, and this is on purpose, it looks like a zombie Halloween prop.
Yeah.
Like it's like, you know, it looks absolutely fake. And then I love when they zoom in on it because you can tell it's just a dead person grafted onto this fucking like robe that Leatherface is wearing. It's Leatherface, but yeah, so because obviously he cuts up all the bodies and sews them on shit and makes furniture and all that, you know, crazy, insane shit, which we will see a lot of that in the movie. Like, majority of the movie, you see some of the most creative fucking furniture made out of people possible.
Never seen so many uses for skeletons. Well,
it's kind of insane. They use them for fucking everything.
But he's like dancing, and then he, you know, just takes out a chainsaw.
What, he starts doing his classic, like, you know, jiggling it around all over his head.
And then he starts sawing at the car.
And they're like freaking out, and this is all being recorded.
Yes.
Because they're still on the open line on the radio.
It's like, it sounds like a buzzsaw.
And the guy's getting sawed at, and they're trying to like get away, but they're on this like tiny bridge. Now, I can suspend my disbelief. This is probably the longest fucking bridge on the planet because they're still driving. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how the bridge went on that long, but it doesn't matter.
It's a very long river.
So the chainsaw finally connects, and like, you know,
starts slicing through the car,
and they like get veered
off. No, the one of the guys, because the guy who's been shooting all the shit on the side of the road.
Oh, he shoots the mask away,
and it shoots off like the head,
and you see the classic Leatherface,
and you see Leatherface face. Like screaming, and then he just keeps slicing and slicing, and like fucking door falls off and all this shit, and then they think everything's fine. And you see that he sliced the top of the guy's head off.
While Oingo Boingo says no one lives forever.
Yes, while the song keeps playing the whole scene.
Well, I love when his like skull pops off.
Yeah.
The song goes, no one lives forever, you know.
And then like, yeah, the top of the head pops off and there's blood and...
If I could time our Instagram stories as well as this sequence was timed, we would be in the stratosphere.
And then they hear on the radio show, they hear the car crashing and the line just goes dead.
Yeah, because they veer off the...
Now,
yeah.
That's the intro to the movie. And, you know, first time I watched this, I was like, okay, this is great. Like, this can't... Sometimes you see a movie and, you know, you just know from the opening that they made it for you.
Well, I think you just know when you're seeing something like you've never seen before and it's going to subvert pretty much every expectation you have
of anything you could have possibly had
of a horror movie. And I love movies that do that because it's like we've seen a lot of the same shit. Like even on this podcast, we've watched over 200 movies.
Yes.
We've seen so much of the same bullshit day in, day out. Even in like normal horror movies, if you're a horror movie fan, you know, it's you just see the same shit over and over again a lot. So I
especially for a sequel.
I love this kind of movie where it just subverts all your expectations. It just is such a crazy fucking lightning in a bottle like moment for
everything
that you just like, it all works within the confines of the movie. It just all works for me, at least. I can get why some people don't like it because it is fucking insane.
It's very insane.
It's like probably one of the most unhinged fucking like movies.
Like mass released studio films.
It's one of the most unhinged like chances a studio's ever took in.
Yeah,
especially
for a sequel.
Well, especially since we're dealing with Texas Chainsaw Massacre because the first one is also unhinged, but in a very different way. This one just takes everything to like such a ridiculous level that I can't help but be entertained the entire time.
This is one of those movies that, you know, once it finishes, once the movie ends, you just have to sit there for a bit and like process, let your body readjust to reality.
So
the insanity you saw.
What we'll do is we'll kind of go over the plot. So basically she records this, we get a sheriff who has a connection with the family.
The uncle of two victims.
Yes.
In the first movie.
So he comes in, he wants to know what the hell's going on.
That there's a, he knows that there's a chainsaw.
Well, and he finds
family.
He finds this radio DJ, and he finds him. Yeah, sorry, yeah. So, because he wants information on the chainsaw killings. Something
printed in the news.
So she has a cassette tape, and she plays it on her radio, and that's how the family knows that she's playing it, and that's how they know, well, they don't know about Lefty yet.
No.
Because Lefty's our sheriff guy, and so we have
Lefty. He tells her to play it, so
we have
basically uses her as bait.
Lefty and Stretch. Stretch is the radio DJ, mm-hmm. Lefty is the sheriff. So, yeah, he uses her as bait to lure this fucking crazed family to tell them, kind of tell him where they're keeping all the bodies, basically.
Where their operation is,
yeah. Yeah. So she gets lured there, he gets lured there, while she's getting absolutely fucking tortured and, like, maimed, he is trying to bring the entire place down. That's your initial setup.
Yes.
Everything about that sounds okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until you get into the meat of the movie, which we will get into now, meat. And I think we're just going to go over.
Well,
I love the introduction to the fucking, like, crazed guy that's like getting the profit for this family. He's the same guy from the first one.
Are you talking about
our chili guy?
Oh, the fucking yeah, it's the meat.
Well, because basically how they're making ends meet.
Small businessman gets it in the ass.
They're making fucking chili and entering it in competitions, and they're using human meat in their chili.
Yeah, because you don't know. I mean,
it's such a fucking great scene when
because it's just like them, like, they're doing a chili cook-off.
Well, and you see they ladle their chili into the fucking, like, the bowl, it's like on a
trophy.
Top. And it looks like shit, like, crawling down, like, Texas.
All of it.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's, like, they're, like, the shit stain.
It's crawling out of it because they poured so much chili in there.
Well, and I love the woman that, like, takes a bite and she's like, "What's your secret?" And she, like,
"It's the meat."
She chews on, like, a little bone and he's like, "Oh, that must be one of those, like,
peppercorns.
Hard shell peppercorns."
This dude,
It's funny that he's the most sane out of this entire family. Because
all he
family.
Cares about is his business.
But he is absolutely insane. He is absolutely insane,
this
but
this dude is incredible.
He's the most sane out of all three of them, because there's, like, three of the family members.
Yeah.
And a fourth one, and, you know, we'll get there. And he's, like, the most sane, but that's not saying much, because he is absolutely fucking unhinged. Because all he talks about is his fucking business and how no one helps him.
Well, there's even because it's a rambler, but there's a scene when he first meets Dennis Hopper's character and he thinks he's, like, a competitor.
Yeah. Well, he thinks he's one of those.
Who sent you?
Oh, my God.
It's like, those fuckers at Del Mar Catering. Those chicken shit burrito man bunch.
And then he also calls him, like, this new age, because he says...
Because he's like, he just says, like, "I'm the lord of the harvest." He's like, what's that?
Is that some new age grocery?
Some health food bunch. He just, like, all he thinks about is, like, he's some competition.
Yes. Just
to pay him off. But, he's fantastic. And then the other batshit introduction.
This is... I still love this jump scare. Like, I don't get why this jump scare is not on more,
this whole scene,
like, more lists and stuff, because
before the jump scare is, like, 6-7 minutes long.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't expect this jump scare at all. It's like the Exorcist 3 jump scare. Yeah. Like, it just lingers so long that you're like, there's no way anything. Oh shit. Okay.
Well, it's just because it's after she plays the radio tape,
they know where she is, right? So they go to the radio station.
She hears all this noise. So she goes and into, like, the main room of the radio, and there's just a guy sitting there. He's got fucked up teeth. He's got, like, a wig, and he has, like, a...
Well, he has, like, a Bono, like, a bowl cut wig.
So, yeah, it's he has a coat hanger.
And he's dressed like a fucking hippie.
He keeps lighting it on fire.
and then scratching something and on his head.
Scratches something, and he keeps a burning sound effect.
And then he keeps licking it, and then he'll touch his head and lick the stuff off.
Keeps
his...
saying, he has a great line where he keeps saying, "Music is my life," and he does the peace sign.
The peace sign, because he's dressed as a hippie. Fan.
And he's like, "I got a request," and all this stuff. And it's just 7 minutes of her,
Well, he's just rambling on and on about...
trying to keep it together of how, terrified she is of this fucker. And he's like, "I'll give you a tour. I'll give you a tour."
Well, so at this point also, when she went to, talk to Dennis Hopper's character, Lefty, he said that he has no fear, so that's why he's going to take on these people.
Because
that kind of plays a part in this, introduction to Leatherface and this other fucking chrome
Chop
dome.
Chop Top,
yeah. Chrome Dome, Chop Top, both would work.
But yeah, he just keeps freaking her out, and she gives him, a little tour.
Well, so, it's the weirdest fucking tour, because he's absolutely fucking just, not there at all, mentally. And she just keeps picking random shit off the desk, and is like,
"These are flowers.
Here's Sharky, here's the Rolodex, here's this.
There's the exit." And he's like, "EXIT, exit."
Well, and she's
leave.
The back and forth, because the whole movie feels like a fever dream. So I get why people are a little...
Hesitant
or don't like it. I can understand
because it's absolute madness.
Because nothing is normal. Even the normal character doesn't really act that normal.
Well, she's just terrified.
Well, because she keeps saying, "Goodbye, goodbye."
And he's just like, "Bye."
He's like, "Bye."
But he just stands there and scratches his fucking head.
And licks his little fucking coat hanger.
And then eventually he's like, "What's in here?" "Oh, all the oldies." And it's a dark room, and you see records and stuff. And then she's like, "Yes, get out." He's like, "Oh, what's in here? Let's see more. He
flicks on the light, and Leatherface lunges at her, and she gets out of the way just in time, and Leatherface knocks
Chop Top.
He hits him in the head and knocks off his wig, and we see this giant fucking chrome circlet.
And he starts freaking out about how you dented my plate, and then he literally starts screaming, "Nom flashback."
Yeah.
Nom flashback. Instead of
suppose
any other line, just openly, just so you know, nom flashback.
Well, and I love the concept of we have no idea why he keeps scratching.
What the fuck it is, yeah.
Well, and you finally see what he's scratching and licking. He has brain matter.
He also keeps
matter.
Picking off.
Brain ooze and shit, and he keeps picking it off and eating it.
Yeah.
So... disgusting, obviously.
Fantastic.
But you're just it all sets in, right? You're "Oh, that's what he was fucking eating? Ew."
And he's freaking out. He's like, "You fucked up my Sonny Bono wig," all this shit. And yeah, she locks herself in this room, and he just keeps sawing at it and all this shit.
And then, so our radio manager comes in.
He's got a crush on her. He shows up.
And he brings drinks, and they fucking beat the shit out of him. The fucking Nom guy beats the shit out of him. And
incoming mail!
It keeps, hitting him with a hammer, and it goes on for a long time.
Eventually, Leatherface gets in the room with her.
Yeah, well, and so he, saws at the sodas, and she's all,
it's an ice tray.
And she's all, wet and shit, and she starts trying to seduce
well, cause he,
Leatherface.
He positions his chainsaw directly in between her legs.
Yes.
And she's just trying to keep it together, and at the same time being you're good.
And he puts it right on her crotch area, and she's absolutely fucking terrified that he's gonna turn it on, but she keeps looking at him longingly in the eyes.
"Please, please, please no.
And
please
then
no."
He freaks out, goes into the studio, absolutely just fucking demolishes
everything.
And then thrusts his chainsaw at her a couple times, and then runs away. You know, an alternative title to this movie could have been called?
Please.
Leatherface in Love.
Yeah. Also,
that was their meet cute.
This is But really, this is a film about family.
It is.
And that's what makes it so powerful.
Makes it so powerful. It's true.
But he lets her live. Because, you know, he goes downstairs and the guy's like, oh, did you get her? It's like, because he doesn't talk.
Well, it kind of sets up, like, why she's allowed to live for so long. Because he doesn't kill her. He's afraid, like, you know.
He tells Chop Top, you know, nods his head like, yeah, I got her. She's dead.
Yeah.
They leave and they take the body. And then the rest of the insanity happens.
Yeah, so we have, like, let's see.
You know what we should talk about? We should talk about the iconic chainsaw shopping scene.
Yeah. So we didn't go over that because, again, this is a rambler. So I love this scene. Because,
you know, like your action movies and stuff have scenes. Well, because
at this point, you just think that Lefty's like this weird alcoholic guy, right? He's not. He's kind of put together.
He's obsessed.
He's obsessed with, like, taking down this family, but he's, like, going to do it by any means possible, but you're not sure what those means are. And you're just like, okay, well, he seems more normal than the family and everything, so I guess, you know, we can get...
at this point, he still is.
We can get behind him, right? Yeah. You know, I can get behind Dennis Hopper's character.
He's got a personal connection.
Yeah. So, until this scene... Now, because he's been normal up until this point, quote-unquote normal, and so he pulls up to a chainsaw shop, goes in, lays like $800 on a table, and just starts picking up the chainsaws and just throwing them around, testing their weight, making sure they're able to work, and then he picks up two chainsaws. Swings them around, dual wields them. Just
but the guy, the sales, the like owner of the shop the whole time.
Well, first he's on the phone, and then he comes in, and he's like...
Because the guy doesn't say anything. Dennis Hopper just lays down a stack of fucking dollar, like $100 bills.
Like I said, he lays down like $800.
And just starts messing around. The guy's like, can I help you? And he sees him like waving it around and all this shit, and he's just like standing there like...
What the fuck are you doing?
And
then
he like takes the... He takes two little ones and one big one. And the guy's like, there's wood out back if you want to, like, test it. There's gas in them.
Well, and he's like, yeah, there's a log out there. You can test them out.
He doesn't say a word. He just goes outside, goes to the log, and just turns on the chainsaw and just starts going bananas.
He just starts wailing on this fucking
and
log.
And the fucking guy.
I love what he's... Because he has the two dual-wheeled... like shorter chainsaws, and then he has one long one.
And he takes the long one and starts going ballistic.
Yeah, and the guy's like, oh, my aching banana.
Oh, my aching banana.
Oh, my aching banana.
And you see him just chopping him maniacally.
And it just keeps cutting back to the shop owner being like utterly horrified that Dennis Hopper is just fucking annihilating this fucking log.
Oh my god.
It's so good because I love the juxtaposition because it's an absolutely unhinged fucking sheriff.
Yeah.
Like pretending this is like the Texas Chainsaw family while this like innocent
old man
bystander just watches in utter horror.
Oh.
Oh my god. It's so fucking good.
Like that really settles in concrete the fucking tone of this thing.
I think we need to, like, talk about the descent into the fucking, like, the hellhole.
Oh my god.
That we have for the... Can I just say, before we get into it, the set work on this fucking movie, some might call it tacky, I don't care.
Bro,
I don't know why you would.
Please. Please no.
It's so fucking good. The aesthetic... is absolutely insane. Like if
world's
you
world's most insane haunted house.
If you like haunted houses, this is incredible to look at. Like just we watched like a 1080p remaster of it. It looks so fucking good, and there's just shit everywhere. It's like skeletons, fucking
Christmas lights, yeah,
fucking just anything and everything.
There's
a
section where it's like a long tunnel with like Christmas lights, and there's like,
well, there's like fucking, there's like dioramas, like
with like
they set up like two like
real bodies, dead bodies, and skeletons and shit.
Well, they set up like two decaying women on like beach chairs and yeah, shit. Like, and
there's like a businessman.
There's like a bunch of like skeletons and fucking wheelchairs everywhere and the cobwebs and fucking anything you can think of is in here. They have walls made out of bones. They have fucking
chandeliers
made out of bones, chairs made out of bones, tables made out of bones. Fucking anything you can think of that's made out of bones. They have like lamps made of human skin. They have
anything. If you can assume any of like the covering, you just assume it's human skin.
It's basically its own character.
Cause they live in like a, it's called like Texas Battleground or Texas Battleland. It's like a fucking like roadside attraction.
And they live underneath it.
And once you get underneath there, it's just. That's the nightmare scenario. It's just all this shit.
Bodies galore.
Because half of the movie, basically after they assault the radio station and they take the body of the guy that they just fucking incoming mailed, they, you know, Stretch follows them and then the cop also follows her.
And the rest of the movie takes place in this place.
Because she falls through like a trap door.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, there's only five characters in this movie.
Yeah.
There's two main characters that are, again, quote-unquote normal.
One of them is normal.
And then there's the three villains.
Because this scene, our cop admits to her that he basically used her as bait.
Now, we'll kind of forget about Dennis Hopper for a minute because, Lefty, because he just goes on a rampage.
Once she falls through, he straps the two tiny chainsaws to him.
And just takes the long chainsaw and just starts fucking sawing everything.
Runs in there and is just like, bring it all down! Take him back to hell! And like,
because it'll sometimes cut to him, but he just is saying like this insane bullshit and sawing shit in half. Because that's
the structure collapses.
That's all you need to know until he shows up at the end.
Yeah, she's in there.
So,
and
So can we talk about the scene with her fucking, like, radio friend?
This scene, tone of this scene is so goddamn, like, it's a mystery.
It's
incredible.
It's really wild what they do, because it's horrific, and it's fucking, like, scary as shit.
It's horrific, it's scary, it's also, like, funny,
kooky, and weird, and
everything.
I don't know how they want me to feel in this scene.
I feel joy. That's one thing.
Yeah, well, that's true. Because, I mean, it's Leatherface using someone else as a doll, basically.
And he dances with her. That happens.
Well, after, sawing her friend's face off.
Because she gets in there, and she's, like, hiding behind this, like, barrel. And the whole room, there's, like, body parts hanging off of hooks. There's body parts on the ground.
Well, and there's fog and red light everywhere and fucking...
And then, you know, the Leatherface comes in with his family, and they say, like, you know, chop him up. Like, we got a barbecue. The football game's coming. You know,
they have to make more chili.
This is true. Because, listen,
he's a small business owner.
The small business owner gets it up the ass.
Support local.
Support your local small businessman. You know, because he has an eye for meat.
Yes.
He tells us. Mm-hmm. He's always had a good eye for quality meat. And don't skimp on the meat, okay?
Don't skimp on the meat. You don't have to when you have an endless supply of it.
Of quality meat.
Yes. Okay?
And they tell him to chop the guy up. And so you see him, like, slice off, like, a giant
sheet of his leg
and his, like, skin torso.
And his torso. And then he finally saws off his face and holds it up to the light. And she's, like, horrified. She's, like, hiding behind a barrel because there's nowhere else to hide. And he finds her.
Because she knocks over some metal stuff. And he finds her and she's like, you have to help me.
I don't know why you're desperate. Times call for desperate measures. Why you would ask Leatherface for help?
Because she knows that he...
Well, there's no other escape, right? There's no other fucking way out
plus,
of here.
Plus, she knows he let her live.
Well, right. And he has the feels. He's catching the feels.
Because the other family members show up and they're like, what are you doing? Like, why are you wasting time? And he just like shows them the head, the face. And
they're like, okay, well, like finish processing and we gotta start this.
And... She's like, help me. And he's like, hold on. And he takes the fucking...
When you think like, okay, like he's going to actually help her because he loves her. Oh, cute.
He takes the fucking face.
Her friend's face.
puts it on her.
Takes like, his cowboy hat.
And he puts it on her.
Puts it on her.
And then ties her up. And ties up her, like, arms. And he's just like, sit, stay. And then he oh yeah, he dances with her.
Yeah, he twirls her around.
They dance.
And dances and is all happy and everything.
And then
he ties her up.
And then he tells her to like sit and stay and walks off and closes the door.
He wants a little toy, okay?
Bubba's in love. They say this.
Okay? Bubba is in love, yes.
And
he wants to know about that
freaking S-E-X. S-C-E-X.
Yeah.
You gotta choose, boy.
You gotta choose the sex or the saw.
Sex is... Oh, no one knows. But the saw...
The saw is family. Holy shit, dude.
And she's, like, freaking out. And then you hear, like, like someone screaming.
And her fucking friend is alive and sees her wearing his face with the cowboy hat.
And his face is missing. And you see, like, the torso and all this shit. And he's like, it's okay. It's okay.
I love his death scene, though, because he just reaches up. Because he
helps her.
He helps her.
He has a machete and, like, cuts off her
rope. It's so weird, the fucking scene where he's, like, stabbing at her. And you think he's going to stab her because he's gone insane. But then he, like, helps the tire, free her. And he reaches his hand up to the fucking camera.
He's like, ah.
And his hand goes limp.
Shit.
And then dies.
And then she's like, I'm so sorry. I love you. And then she takes off the skin, puts it back on him, and then takes off his hat.
There are no normal scenes. Because a normal scene, they would just have the fucking main character get all freaked out, throw the face on the ground, and try to run away, right?
Yes.
Not this movie.
No.
She takes off the face and tries to put it back on his head and then lays his cowboy hat on his shoulder.
And he gets a nice little send-off. But also, would a normal movie have the guy who gets his face ripped off and half of the skin on his torso and leg is missing just die and go, ah, shit.
Dead. Now, normally, we get upset with those kind of deaths.
Listen,
but
I can't.
But in the context of this movie, like, how could you get upset? And it just fits in so well with everything else going on.
Well, it's just great because he just, like, tries to calm her down earlier and he's like, listen, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
As he's like,
hey,
as his, he is in an incredible amount of pain, way more pain than she is. And it's just kind of trying to calm her down while his face is missing.
Because he loves her. It's a movie about love.
And then, shit.
Well, this is a movie about love, and it's a movie about family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it so powerful.
Exactly. Okay? Exactly.
You know, she wipes off the blood off her face as much as she can. And tries to make a run for it while Dennis Hopper is running around screaming and chopping, fucking destroying this place.
And so she's running around and she like sees Leatherface and he tells her to like not come there. And she goes through like pipes. There's like pipes and shit all over. And they
see her.
Well, they see her and they think that she's the one that's
sabotaging.
Yeah. And well, and this is when he does like the whole like I'm a small business owner, like you're from a competitor, you're trying to sabotage.
Because yeah, they catch up to her,
and that's when he does the whole like the Saw's family.
He's
and,
like, how are you alive? Like didn't you say she was dead? Because the what chopped off's like, oh, it's the DJ, he killed her already. And then he's like, oh, I see what's happening. And then he's just like,
that's when he says,
Bubba's like, got a girlfriend.
And then,
oh, by the way, the whole time this is happening, he has the like a dead body marionette with him too that he keeps dancing around with,
because when he keeps going Nomland,
because he's like, listen, you know, the Texas battle land is over.
Yeah,
it's over, no one cares, you gotta move on, new business,
Nomland. Like Vietnamland. And so after he gives that whole, like, Saw's family. They knock her out with a bone. And now we get, of course.
Just like the first movie had the batshit insane dinner, family dinner.
Yeah, it's a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie, so you have to have a dinner scene.
Oh, boy.
The one take they do at the beginning of this sequence is incredible.
it's this, just, you have to watch it, because it's like
It's hard to describe, because it looks so fucking cool, because they're on this, like, giant platform in what looks like a warehouse, and it's this table made completely of bones.
With all sorts of insane decorations.
There's, like, a skull with, like, green onions coming out of it.
She has, like, this weird thing on this, like, throne chair behind her. Well,
and they have, like, skeletons drinking out of crazy straws from, like, yeah, bottles and shit.
There's, like, a random, like, mummified corpse drinking out of a crazy straw and has a radio next to it. And the whole time, it's, like, this, like, crane that they, like, it's, like, zoomed in on her and then it zooms out. And you see them wheeling in Grandpa.
Dude, I would give anything to walk around the set.
To see all the detail?
I would love to walk around the set. It would be so fucking cool. Mm-hmm. There's so much shit everywhere. And it's like some shit you don't even see. Like they just set everything up because it feels...
You see it for like a split second.
Yeah. When it feels like something three absolute fucking madmen would create.
The people in the movie, yeah.
Like people who are just completely fucking broken would make.
They, you know, they bring in Grandpa. And they keep talking about how, you know, Grandpa's a one-hitter, and he's a big deal. And, like, the whole time, just like the first movie, our lady, our final girl, is just screaming and going crazy.
Most of her, so her script is probably just H.
At some point,
it just devolves into her screaming.
They're like, how, we want to know, like, can you scream on cue without losing your voice? Yes, cool.
Done. Okay, you're going to have to do that for like...
This is
you're going to have to do that in a lot of scenes.
And you're going to be covered in blood and sweat too. But she's just screaming and, you know, the fucking dad, Mr. Chilly Man, is just telling a story about how, like, you know, his grandpa was put out of business by automation.
Well, and, you know, they bring in Grandpa. He looks like a corpse, but he's alive.
They keep saying he's like 130 years old.
Yeah, and the reason he's able to stay alive for so long is he drinks blood from a ladle.
He says his all-liquid diet.
It's just blood that they drain into a gross galvanized tub, and he ladles it out. That's, like, literally what they're going to do.
That's what they do. And so, you know, they're doing that, and, like, you know, Leatherface kind of, like, is hesitant because...
But he brings her... Love. There's a lot of, like, hesitation scenes in this, and it just adds to the insanity because they take a long time sometimes to, like, do things. Because
the whole family's screaming at him.
Well, there's just so much dialogue being thrown around. People are talking over everyone. It's chaos.
There's so much little, like, weird lines and weird dialogue that's just... You can easily, like, miss it because so much is being thrown at you.
Which is actually to its advantage because things that would typically annoy me for some reason just work in this movie.
Because it adds to the insanity.
Yeah, cool, because it makes you feel insane.
You feel like her.
You feel insane and you feel like you're just like, what the fuck am I watching? Yeah. But that's great.
I mean, even because when they do, like, put her head in, like, the big fucking bucket, and, like, you know, Grandpa's old as fucking weak.
He ain't no one hitter anymore.
So they keep giving him the hammer, and he's
dropping
either it. Missing it or dropping it.
Well, and he's getting all excited and stuff, and he finally hits her once,
and it's too weak. He's too weak.
So the guy picks up the
whatever. Let's just do this, and he hits her and knocks her out.
Well, she's all dazed, right? And then you get our unhinged hero.
You hear, like, explosions, then you hear singing.
He starts singing a song. I can't remember what song it is.
It's like, bringing in the sheaves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And see
Chop him. Top starts singing along, and the fucking dad's like, shut the fuck up.
He's like, who are you? And then you just...
Is that a way to enter a man's home?
You see Lefty in the pipe, silhouetted in yellow, with a giant fucking chainsaw, just singing and, like, lumbering down. He looks like a villain himself.
Yes.
And he, like...
Literally. Yeah.
He jumps down, and he's just, like, pointing the chainsaw at them, right?
Like a drum roll.
He's like... This is when he's, like... The grandpa's, like...
Boys.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have done this.
And the fucking... I love how that says, like, grand entrance. You shouldn't have done this.
And they're just, like... Is that a way to enter a man's home? That's when he accuses him of being like a competitor.
Yeah, from like the big the burrito tech, people. Yeah,
and then he's like, "Listen, I got real cash money here.
We'll make how much a deal. Do you want? We'll make a deal." And he's like, "I don't want money." And then the guy tries to run away, and
he says, "I'm the Lord of the Harvest."
Yeah, and the chili guy tries to run away and gets like sawed in the ass.
He's just sawed in the ass, and then he later on says that helps my that really helped my hems.
Yeah, my hemorrhoids. Man, that really helped my hems.
That really baked my beans.
Because he got hit in like the balls, I guess.
Scratching his ass.
When he pulls out blood, and because he dives underneath the table.
And then
Lefty and Leatherface have a sword duel with chainsaws.
Yeah, he helps.
If this doesn't sound incredible to you,
honey,
this is not incredible. This is, I don't know how it could. I don't get why people don't like this movie. I know there's haters, but I fucking love it.
So good. Because listen, once you sit through all the insanity of the whole movie,
yeah,
all the insanity, everything you sat through, and then you get to a fucking chainsaw duel with the one man who was just as insane as the family.
Yeah.
Oh, before that, there is a brief moment where he finds his like dead fucking nephew. So from the first movie, there's the guy in the wheelchair, and he gets killed by Leatherface. He saws him, his fucking head apparently in half, and he sees his corpse.
Yeah.
And then he goes even more ballistic.
Oh, yeah, he just snaps at that point.
And he's like, "We're all going down to hell."
Dude, Tom Savini is such a fucking legend. When Lefty, like, shoves the chainsaw through Leatherface's stomach and it's all distended and fucking
grotesque. Dude, there's a
grotesque
bit. Oh my god. Because he
I don't know how they did it. I'm sure it's like a prosthetic that they shoved an actual chainsaw through, like, right next to his body.
Probably.
Because it looks like it's going through it, but it's still fucking running. It's
still running. And there's blood and guts. And he has the chainsaw embedded through him, and they still fight. Because now he takes off the two little ones, and he starts fucking slicing him across the head and all this shit. And the whole time, fucking Daddy.
I love when he's like, where's that fuck you, Charlie?
Because he takes like the fucking corpse with the crazy straw, and he starts looking through him while complaining about the small businessman getting it up the ass.
He's like, "Well, I'm going to show them that small businessmen aren't worth like dealing with or whatever." Like, just the ramblings also, of an the whole absolute time they're fucking madman.
Grandpa is getting his fucking hammer, and he's like aiming it.
He's getting ready to like
throw it.
Yeah.
He gets ready to throw it, and they build this up for like minutes. And then he finally throws it, and he hits Leatherface right in the fucking head.
Dazes him enough that the Leatherface drops the chainsaw down and fucking saws the chili guy's head like right in the skull, and he drops the grenade. All this is going on while she's escaping, like the main girl.
She's escaping from Chop Top.
So yeah, Stretch is going up the pipes and Chop Top is chasing after her.
And she's like kicking him in the balls. There's a part where she breaks a lamp on his head and like shocks the fucking metal plate on him.
Well, and as they're going up the pipes, the grenade explodes. So everyone in that room died. Yep. Just off camera.
Yes.
Because why not? The last
thing you see is Dennis Hopper just dual wielding chainsaws. Like, I did it.
Well, he's like raising his arms in the sky with these two chainsaws and like twirling around. Like, I did it. I did it. And then just boom.
But yeah, they're running away, and then eventually there's like this tower, has like the fucking Texas flag on top of it and everything, and they climb up it, and they fight, and she
kicks out like the railing, and he like swings.
He swings off, and so she gets like a chance to run up to this tower.
It's like an altar for the grandma from the first movie.
And in her hand.
The original
Chainsaw.
Leatherface chainsaw.
And then...
Well, and she's naked, too. We see, like, these old, dusty old saggy nipples. Titties. Yeah.
It's great. And there's, like, a fucking... It's, like, one of those
It's, like, a mobile.
Yeah, for babies.
It's a baby mobile made of, like, skeletons and skulls and shit. There's bones fucking everywhere. There's, like, bone curtains
that you walk through to get in the room.
It's just... This whole altar is insane.
And... he gets up there and, you know, starts threatening her, and she's like, and she looks unhinged.
Oh, I mean, at this point, she's snapped.
She's full on, how like, come
you,
and
how,
get it.
How could you not?
She's full on, like, come and get it. And then she turns around and gets the fucking chainsaw.
When he's like, no, no, no,
you don't touch grandma. And then she gets it, and she's like, trying to rev it up.
When he's like, goes
you
over,
fucking kill grandma. You
killed grandma. I'm like, bro, she's fucking been dead for centuries. But
she's not on this existence. And while she's getting her, she's trying to crank it up, he starts slicing her back.
Yeah, so she finally starts it up and stabs him with it.
She, like, saws him all across his fucking stomach. And then she, like, kicks him, and then he fucking goes tumbling.
The stunt work in this scene where he, like, tumbles down the fucking thing and then falls into a tube.
Into a tube, and then she's just there. It's like this wide, far away shot.
She, like, raises up the fucking chainsaw and starts jiggling
doing
it around.
The leather,
like,
face, the leather face.
And then she starts, like, swinging it all over the place as she's, like, screaming. And then she just holds it up again and end movie. Bruh.
Incredible.
This movie is fucking... I love this movie.
There's so many little things.
Well, there's so much to love about it. It's, you know, if you love haunted houses, you have that. The aesthetic of just this insane, cavernous, like, horror house.
The family.
The family, the dinner is unhinged as fuck.
Every line of dialogue is incredible. I mean, the family
I wouldn't be surprised if the family, like, ad-libbed a lot of their lines.
Well, it's so... There's so much packed into this thing.
Well, the acting is just, like, they sell it on every level. Because everyone does a good job at their, like... their characters are as insane as possible.
Like, everyone in the family is fantastic. Yeah. I mean, Dennis Hopper's great. The DJ's great. Like,
I don't know. This is just, like, it's such a good movie through and through. There, like, even the soundtrack is just, like, amazing. So good.
They fucking, you have a goddamn drive-by chainsawing to No One Lives Forever by Oingo Boingo.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you say? What do you say to that?
I don't know. If you haven't seen this movie, what are you doing? Fucking go watch this movie. If you're like, oh, I don't like sequels, I'm not going to watch the Texas Chainsaw 2 because I've heard it's not good.
Listen.
Fuck them. Go watch it. Fuck them. Go watch it. Don't let them like feed that negative bullshit. Yeah.
This is good vibes. This movie is only good vibes, okay?
I would say, like, honestly, there's so much work that went into this movie. It begs to be seen.
No, this is, it's one of a kind. I mean,
well, it's very, like you said, it's very unique. It's
especially for a sequel.
Yeah.
This is,
it's probably one of the most unhinged studio sequels I've ever seen.
Because you could argue, you know, people say, oh, the tone is a total 180. In some ways it is.
I think that's,
but in other ways,
again, I think that's to its credit though, because if you did the exact same vibe, I don't think it would be as enjoyable.
No, because this movie ramps up.
Well, because what are you going to do? Another family goes to the house and the same thing fucking happens?
No.
Wait.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, you...
That's the same thing that they did in every other fucking sequel.
Well, except for that really crazy spoof one with Matthew McConaughey.
Technically, that also has them going to a house.
Well, I mean, yeah.
But you know...
It also has him with a robot leg, and they go through a bin of universal remotes trying to find which one controls it. So,
also Leatherface is a crossdresser.
Yeah,
that was the thing.
Yeah, I think that one will be on our podcast. Some of them will be on, and hey, we will not be. They will not all be gushers.
All of them will be on here. But fun fact for you. What's that up? One with the robot leg was the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie I ever saw.
That was your introduction?
That was the first one I saw. I had no idea.
How does that feel? My God.
I was deeply confused the whole time.
Yeah.
Because the whole time watching that movie, I was like, first of all, this is the acclaimed movie? Second of all, why?
That is a weird fucking starting point.
Yeah, later on, I was like, oh, that's...
That is a wild fucking starting point.
A sequel, kind of. But it was called, like, The Next Generation, so it's like a reboot.
And then, so, I just... This franchise is so stupid, because...
Well, I know there's a term for it. I don't know what it is, but it's that thing where, like, you have a franchise, and then they kind of, like, super focus on one aspect of it, and then it just keeps going.
Well, the problem was they focused on Leatherface, right?
Because the movie after this, the third one, is literally called Leatherface.
Well, yeah, and they've remade Leatherface.
And then we have, I think one of the other sequels also has that, but it's like every other movie, they hyper-focus on Leatherface. And it's just like, it's just same thing. Like,
well, even the
young
newest...
teenagers find house.
Well, here's the crazy thing. Yeah. A lot of them just forget about the family altogether.
It's like a tiny portion.
Well, some of them don't even have the family at all. Like the new one, for instance, Texas Chainsaw, which is, in my opinion, absolute fucking trash. It literally, they don't even go to a house.
It's just Leatherface.
It's just Leatherface.
Yeah.
It is the most fucking stupid, lazy bullshit. But that's the problem with this, because they focused on Leatherface and forgot about that it's like literally about the entire family killing these people.
It's just both the first one and the second one feel like movies made by crazy people.
Now, I know this is a crazy statement. I don't absolutely hate the remake to the original.
I mean, it's the original, so yeah.
I don't absolutely hate it, because they have
it follows
like,
the same plot.
They have like the crazy sheriff and all that shit, and they do the family shit. There is Leatherface in there, obviously, but those two are like the two that I'm like, okay, they actually are okay. The second one though, like one and two, are like the most watchable ones, obviously.
No, one and two feel like movies made by crazy people.
Yes, which is the whole point.
And that is why these two work, because this, they feel like movies, they feel like, it feels like the family in the movie made this.
Well, and this is a repeat offender, too.
Toby Hooper,
he directed...
I mean, he made the first one. But the movie that we had of his before was The Funhouse, which we both enjoyed.
Yeah, Funhouse was really fun.
And this, I mean, listen, he knows what he's doing. This especially. Like, the fact that they gave them money to make this absolute demon fever dream.
I know this sounds weird because it's like gross out mayhem, bodies everywhere. This is like comfort horror to me.
Well, see, this movie has, there's an interesting amount of camp in this.
And I love a little bit of camp. I don't mind a lot of camp as long as it's done right.
I love camp. I love, like, enjoyment, popcorn, insanity.
Yeah.
This movie has that, it has camp to where you can laugh or you can be horrified.
Yeah, either way.
And for me, because we are both on the wavelength.
We're degenerate.
We do both.
Well, yeah.
We laugh. We're horrified. We have a grand old time.
Yeah. We could go on forever about this movie. I fucking love everything about it. We won't bore you with all the details, obviously. But again, if you have not seen this, please go watch it. If you like anything about Texas Chainsaw Massacre, even if you like the new ones, give it a try.
If you just want, even if you, if you're someone who wants to see just unhinged horror, like if that's your thing, you want to see some horror movies that are just out there, absolutely insane, unhinged, you have to watch this.
Which is kind of funny because we're two in a row for that kind of movie.
Yes, we are.
Because From Beyond is nothing like any horror movie you've seen either.
Yes.
So
it's very fitting.
You know, maybe that streak will continue. Probably not, but you know.
In a way.
Yeah,
it will.
Do we even have to? I mean,
look,
I don't know why we're doing Shitty to Pretty, but it's a 10. Obviously,
know,
like,
listen, it's not even Shitty to Pretty. This is just for me a 10 in any way.
Oh yeah, I mean, even like on just a movie level. Like, if we're critiquing it, I love this movie.
Any way you slice it, Will.
You do not feel a second of the 1 hour, 40 minute mark.
Yeah, no, this
you don't, you don't, like, you're entertained the entire way through. You don't give a shit how long it is. I wish it was longer, to be honest, because I want to just sit in this world.
Yeah, you could just exist in this thing.
Like, I just want to sit in it for, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, this is, man, I just, the amount of effort put into this.
I mean, the set alone is huge, and it's, there's shit everywhere.
The atmosphere, like, you just want to spend time with these psychos. Like, you just want to see this fucking, these psychos murder people and go to his fucking stupid chili cook-offs.
Yeah, and there's not, I mean, to be honest, they did that much entertaining shit, and there's not even that many characters in the movie.
No.
It's not like a group of
but
teens.
That's smart.
It's one radio DJ and an unhinged lunatic with a chainsaw.
Because they knew it's a movie about family.
That's what makes it so powerful.
Yes. They understood.
Remember, the Saw is family.
The Saw is family. They literally tell you in the movie.
Yeah. Dennis Hopper understands.
Okay.
The Saw is family. Okay.
Dennis Hopper understood the assignment, okay?
He did. Saw is family.
Saw is family. It's about family. He's avenging his family with the Saw.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about love. Yes. By finding love in all the wrong places, okay?
Oh, absolutely. And trusting an absolute lunatic to try and get you out of a fucking horrific situation.
Yeah, being in a situation where the only person you can even remotely trust is a guy who wears someone else's face.
And doesn't talk.
And doesn't talk. And licks his lips every time he sees you.
Mm-hmm. And thrusts his chainsaw at you like a dick.
Okay, love. It's about love.
That's love. That's true love right there.
It's about love, and that also makes it more powerful.
No one's thrust a chainsaw at me like that.
No other sequel in this franchise does that.
No, are you kidding me? No.
They're not even going to think about that.
No, no one sexualizes
a chainsaw.
Leatherface.
A fucking chainsaw, Will.
No one even delves into Leatherface falling in love after this movie. Ever. They'd never go into that.
It's like weird to me because this movie is so fucking out there that the most, like, the least psychotic person in the fucking family is the dude who wears people's faces.
And makes furniture out of people.
That, my friend, is subverting your goddamn expectations.
Yes.
Like the... Again.
Like for a split second, they had the gall...
Yes.
...to make Leatherface an anti-hero.
He is the one person who hesitates in the murder.
He... For a split second, he becomes an anti-hero. This is Leatherface.
But he can't do it because the Saw is family.
Saw is powerful. It's family.
It's not.
It's the law.
God damn it.
Saw is the law, and it is family.
I swear, every line in this movie is golden.
Goated movie. Goated horror movie. I fucking love it. It's a joy that we got to watch it on this podcast because I love talking about it. Go watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. I won't harp on too much longer about it. Do your homework, though. And also do your homework and share the podcast and like, comment, subscribe on everything. And, you know, really helps us out.
And don't skip on the meat.
Thank you all for listening. Don't skip on the meat. Bye.
Bye.